Welcome to the Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we're delighted to bring you another episode with Dr. Michael Heiser, week two.
Oh, yes. His work has been so influential on us, and we want to make sure that every time we go anywhere that we give Mike credit where it's due. His book, The Unseen Realm, his book, Reversing Hermon, and of course, the books that we'll make available to you today, and we'll talk about that before the end of the program, are very helpful in helping to untangle some of the stranger parts of the Bible. And that's what this program is all about, understanding the Bible's greatest mysteries.
That is so true. In fact, many of the things that Mike has written, as you say, we build upon that. So we're standing on his giant shoulders, you might say. And of course, he has been standing on others because we build. Our debt goes back to the first century church fathers and those who came before. You and I love to reference the Septuagint. It took those scholars a while to translate from Hebrew into Greek back in the, what, 3rd century B.C.?
3rd century B.C., right.
A long time ago. So we love that that version of the Bible as well because it helps us to understand what the 3rd century B.C. Recipients of that translation, how they understood the Old Testament.
One of the exciting things about archaeology in general is that with more finds in places like Syria and Lebanon and some of the digs taking place in Israel, we learn more about the world around the ancient Israelites. The prophets and the apostles did not write in a bubble. They knew what their neighbors believed, and much of what's in the Bible is written as a response or a polemic against the pagan beliefs of their neighbors. And we see when we go through Scripture that there were certain beliefs that really influenced the Israelites for many, many years. It's hard for us looking back 3,400 years to Moses and the Israelites. They saw God literally part the Red Sea. They saw him supernaturally help them defeat armies that were much larger and more powerful than they. And yet, they kept falling into the worship of these false gods, these demons who presented themselves as gods, the fallen angels who manifested as gods.
Well, the fallen angels had power as well compared to what mankind can do. They have access to dimensions beyond what we can access now. The day will come that I think we'll be able to access those again, just like Adam did before the fall. But I think that signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders, were performed back then as well.
Right. And we, in the modern church, especially here in America, where we tend not to view the world with a supernatural worldview, unlike our brothers and sisters in say, Africa, where missionaries who return come back and say, yeah, they know what they're seeing when they see demonic possession. Here in the West, we tend to look first for a medical or psychological reason. And not that that doesn't happen, but we tend to view the supernatural influence on our world as sort of a last option when we're trying to figure out why bad things happen to good people.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I'm really old, and I grew up watching commercials with Madge. Remember Madge? And, you know, she did your nails, and I won't name the product, but you soaked, she said. You're soaking in it. We are soaking in a spiritual reality. We just can't perceive it. We see the effects of the spirit, but we don't generally see the actual spirit, which is probably a good thing, because I think if we saw these spirits, we'd be pretty scared.
Right.
Look at the Old Testament, the prophets. When they actually saw an angel, that was a scary-looking dude. Sometimes they appeared as human beings, but even there they were recognizable as, oh, I see you're here for a reason. But Paul tells us that we can entertain them and not be aware of it.
Entertain angels unawares,
right? Which tells me that they can also appear no different than you and I.
Yeah, and can manifest as something very beautiful. As Paul also writes that even Satan can appear as an angel of light.
Exactly.
So the ancient world were subject to these entities. The Israelites had seen the power of God through the process of escaping Egypt, defeating these more powerful nations, pushing them mostly out of Canaan. They didn't really complete the job. They did it mostly, but not entirely. And yet, even though they were, there were times when they were punished severely. For example, in the plains of Moab, as they were on the Jordan River Valley across from Jericho, they began eating sacrifices offered to the dead, according mm-hmm. to Psalm 106, verse 28. Mm-hmm. And God sent a plague that killed 24,000 Israelites. So this happens around 1400 BC. And yet, more than 700 years later, the prophet Isaiah is still writing about eating these sacrifices amongst the tombs. Mm-hmm. So this was a very long process, this supernatural struggle. The enemy does not give up easily.
Yeah. Well, this week, Dr. Michael Heiser discusses, amongst other things, he talks about the power of baptism. Oh. It is not something we do just because everybody's got a baptistry and we're just going to go and we'll just dunk ourselves. There is a spiritual reason why the Lord has us baptized. And every time it happens, as you're going to find out from Mike, there is a reaction in the fallen realm. And
there
I believe
is.
That the heavenly realm also rejoices. He discusses that on this part. But if you get the Skywatch TV, we call it a travel augmentary. It was our first tour of Israel. And we'll tell you how to get that after he talks. But he discusses that and many more things on that DVD, because he was in Israel with us.
Yeah. Back in 2018, we were blessed that Mike and his wife Drina were part of our tour, and
he talked on Mount Hermon.
Oh yeah, we had the wonderful, wonderful opportunity preaching on Mount Hermon. Mike teaching on baptism at the Jordan River.
At the Jordan River, exactly. It's wonderful. So we're not going to delay anymore. Here is part two of Dr. Michael Heiser.
Mike, in our last conversation, we talked about the giants of the ancient world, the pre-flood world, and how they continue to influence the world after the flood, both in terms of descendants that had to be mopped up by Moses and David, and then Jesus literally doing battle with giants, in a sense, by casting out demons. There's another interesting passage that we were privileged to hear you teach on at the Jordan River as part of our Skywatch TV Israel tour a few years ago, and that is the subject of baptism. Peter, who references this strange event in Genesis chapter 6, connects it and the practice of baptism to the flood of Noah. What is the connection there, and why do we baptize?
Yeah, the great blender passage, as I've come to refer to. You know, Peter throwing in baptism in the ark, you know, Noah, the spirits in prison, the resurrection. Like, what in the world is this guy doing? To me, it's one of the more interesting and really cooler passages in the New Testament. To really understand it, you have to know something about typology. And that's a term scholars throw around, but it's actually a New Testament term. Paul uses it in Romans 5 when he says that Adam was a type, typos, of Jesus. And what a type is an event or person or institution in Israelite culture that foreshadows something yet to come. And we know prophecy as verbal prediction. A type is sort of like a nonverbal prediction. It foreshadows something to come. And for Paul, Adam was a foreshadowing of Jesus in a variety of ways. Okay, this is what Romans 5 deals with. Well, if we take that to 1 Peter 3 and we ask a simple question, hey, what if Peter, in writing all this weird stuff in 1 Peter 3 and throwing it in the blender, what if Enoch is a type of Jesus for Peter, just like Adam was a type of Christ for Paul? And if you take it that way, the whole passage just falls into place. So here's what I mean. If you know the Enoch story, and we know Peter, because of the letters 1st and 2nd Peter, he dips into the Enochian literature in several places, and Jude for that matter. You know, these epistles are known for that. So he's aware of the material, and the story in the book of Enoch about Genesis 6, you know, includes the watchers, the sons of God, and the human women, and the Nephilim, the giants, the whole bit. But when God, you know, starts to judge them, you know, to clean up that situation, the watchers, again, the offending, you know, supernatural spirits say, you know, well, we don't really want to sit here in the abyss, you know, for eternity. That just stinks. You know, like, you know, can we get out of here? And so they ask Enoch, because Enoch's favorite, he walks with God, okay, just like Genesis says. They ask Enoch, could you go tell God that we're sorry and we want to repent and so on and so forth? And so Enoch takes this plea to God, and it's a pretty quick conversation. Your God says, forget it. You're not getting out here. And then here's the key phrase, but Enoch descends and he gives this message to the spirits that are in prison. And the message is that, no, you're not going to get out. You still lose. You're defeated, so on and so forth. You know, God's punishing you. And then, you know, Enoch's gone. He leaves. Well, if you look at what Peter says, what if that Enochian story is a foreshadowing in Peter's mind of Jesus? Jesus dies. He goes to the realm of the dead. Okay. And we know from, you know, the Bible just generally, but New Testament especially, that the afterlife, again, has these neighborhoods, we'll call them. And we were forced to use this language of geography for a placeless place, but we'll run with it. But while he's in the spiritual realm, he goes to the spirits in prison. And they look at him and think, what are you doing here? Like, you're not supposed to be here. You know, you're the Son of God. You're dead. You know what? How'd that happen? And then it's like, oh, well, maybe God loses. You know, maybe, you know, our enemy, God, you know, failed or something like that. They think they've won something. Maybe we're going to get out of here. Maybe one of our buddies, you know, our buddy rebels, you know, is going to get us out of here. And so what does Jesus do? Again, if in the Enochian typology, he announces to them, yeah, you know, you're probably surprised, you know, that I'm here, but your doom is still secure. Because I know something you don't. I'm not going to be here very long, and you are. You know, and so when Jesus rises from the dead, he leaves the underworld, he leaves the realm of the dead, and they're still there. They're still under sentence, they're still under punishment. And so for Peter's looking at the resurrection as like, you know, this whole thing fits the Enochian typology so that what Jesus accomplishes is not only just sort of, you know, redemptive work for humans, but it's also a work that seals the doom of God's enemies, his cosmic enemies. And baptism for Peter commemorates this event. And we're already familiar with how baptism, you know, we're buried, you know, death, burial, resurrection, the Roman 6 imagery. If we attach this stuff to it, look at what we get. We get baptism becoming sort of an act of spiritual warfare, that when I'm baptized, I'm announcing not only to the people who are watching me get baptized, but I'm also announcing and showing, demonstrating to the spirits in prison whose side I'm on. And I am not going to be a resident of the realm of the dead, because I have everlasting life, because I'm united to Christ through his resurrection. So in Peter's mind, all these things do go together, because he's saying what he's saying through the lens of the Enochian story as a foreshadowing of what Jesus does and accomplishes. Now that's quite foreign to the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have never, you know, heard a preacher or anything like that when they're talking about baptism say anything like that. I've actually been in church where somebody just skipped 1 Peter 3 and told us he was doing it. It's too weird. We're just skipping it. We're moving on. You know, I've only seen that happen once, you know, thank the Lord, but I have seen it happen, you know. And it's like, this is one of the most powerful, theologically pregnant passages that there is in the New Testament, but we can't see it unless we're thinking in Peter mode. And that is, again, this Enochian typology. So, you know, the Enochian background is actually really important here.
So when Peter writes that Jesus in the spirit went and some translations will say preached to the spirits, but others indicate that the better word there is proclaimed.
Yeah.
In other words, just went down there and declared, this is how it is.
This is how it is, dude.
And the spirits indicated there are not human spirits, as many pastors have understood, but the spirits of these rebels. And this is why he connects it to the flood of Noah, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And if people want more information, I mean, they could go to Unseen Realm, and I have, you know, scholarly literature there that will back this position. This is not a new position, you know, with me or, you know, really anybody. I mean, if you look at early baptismal formulas and baptismal creeds, they actually include a denunciation of the devil and his angels in their baptismal ceremonies.
Oh.
And the reason they do it is 1 Peter 3. Like, they actually have that element in there. there's a book that actually goes through this material. It's called The Devil at Baptism the author's last name is Kelly. So this actually has gotten a lot of academic attention. But I have found that people default to, oh, these are, you know, the human spirits. There's nothing demonic here to see, citizen, move along. Because that's sort of, that makes it easy to just sort of move away from the passage and not sort of get into the guts of it. But if you think about it, it actually doesn't really have any message to it. Okay, dead people at the time of the flood, what does that have to do with the resurrection? The picture doesn't fit. But it's just an easy way to kind of escape the strange, you know, the bizarre supernatural implications of what's going on. But do we assign authority to the Bible's view of the spiritual world? You know, there's a good question. You know, are we going to sit in judgment on what the Bible says about the supernatural world? You know, if we do that, I have a simple question. Well, why aren't you passing judgment on things like the Trinity and the Incarnation? How about the concept of salvation? Okay, all of these things are inherently supernatural. And so it's very inconsistent for us to affirm things that we like or that we feel we need, but then reject other things when, newsflash, they come from the same source. So again, this is you know me long enough to know this is one of my one string banjos here, that if we're going to take Scripture seriously for spiritual truth, okay, for supernatural worldview, for things that we can't put under a microscope, okay, anything to do with the spiritual world, then we need to be consistent about it. Otherwise, we are fashioning our theology to suit ourselves and to make us comfortable. And that really isn't why the Bible was given to us.
That was startling. Getting that insight into that strange verse in 1 Peter 3 was really, especially having the opportunity to hear it at the Jordan River with Mike. And that's why I was glad that we were able to discuss that in the interview with Mike. Do we baptize? It's a declaration of victory over the spirits in prison.
Yes.
And the spirits, and I've had the opportunity to do some additional study on this, the Greek word used, translated spirits into English in 1 Peter 3 is never used of human spirits. So we know that they're talking about supernatural entities. They're not talking about the people around Noah in the days of Noah. They're talking about those sons of God from Genesis chapter 6. And that's a reference back to the book of Enoch, which is why Mike has done so much preaching, teaching, and writing about the book of Enoch, and why we're offering that as part of our special offer this week. And during this series here on The Bible's Greatest Mysteries.
Absolutely. Now, can you put a QR code on the screen for our travel documentary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you can actually go and rent it and watch it on your device. You don't actually have to buy the physical DVD, although you can.
Yeah.
It's at Skywatch Films?
Skywatchfilms.com, and you can get instant access in full HD, which the DVD is much lower resolution. So if you stream it, you get it in full high definition, 1920 by 1080, and it is a remarkable thing to see. That teaching, especially at the Jordan River, was really eye-opening.
So good.
For just $2.95 for a seven-day rental, along with all of the other Skywatch TV documentaries there at skywatchfilms.com.
But absolutely.
Point to the QR code, and it'll take you right there.
And don't forget that we still are offering the Michael Heiser package for the Bible's Greatest Mysteries, and you get the two commentaries on the Book of Enoch. You get the Book of Enoch, the translation by Charles from the 19th century, and you also get a DVD interview with Dr. Heiser.
Yes, the interview done by...
You need bigger hands.
Yes, I do, more of them, by Stephen Bankars, who is an author who, along with Josh Peck, wrote the very important book, Second Coming of the New Age. But Stephen had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Heiser about the Book of Enoch and why it is relevant. And it's a really good starting point for people who've never heard of the Book of Enoch, don't really understand why it's important. So that DVD would be a good starting point just to explain the basics. Yes, we know it's not in the Bible. There are reasons for that. But Jude and Peter reference it directly, and the influence of Enoch is all through the New Testament.
Well, you just watched Dr. Heiser talk about for the last 2 weeks how important the Book of Enoch is, and really gives us context and a sort of a look into the mindset of those who received this these wonderful written letters that became the chapters and books of our Bible.
That's right.
Last week, I promised you that we were going to discuss some special spots on the Turkey tour that we're going to be visiting in October of this year, 2022. One of those, we just watched on a documentary, a BBC documentary where the gentleman was going around the world and taking a look at various treasures of the world. In Turkey, he visited the very place that we're going to go, Cappadocia.
Yes, there's a, there's an underground city there called Derinkuyu. I think I pronounced that correctly, but I wouldn't be 100% sure.
I think you did.
Sure.
It's known as a hypogeum, which just means beneath the earth.
Right.
But it's a big, big tunnel system that will accommodate 30,000 people. 30,000 people.
And that's really remarkable. The thought is that that was originally excavated by the Phrygian people.
Well, some say the Hittites, but I think it was probably Phrygian, maybe even Luwian.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to roughly the time of Isaiah and Hezekiah, 8th century, 7th century BC, but it was used later during the Roman period when folks there were hiding from the Romans, Christians were hiding from the Romans. Mm-hmm. It was also used in the 7th and 8th centuries BC, or AD rather, when the armies of Islam were moving into Anatolia and Christians were hiding from the armies of Islam.
And when you go through them, you will find, graffiti, carvings on the wall. There's one wall that was shown in the documentary. We watched someone had put a cross, so it may have been, it was a rather large area, so it may have been where they worshipped. Other places you have names.
And it's remarkable thinking that in that place, as Doug Hershey, who, by the way, will be joining us on this tour, he's the author of the best-selling books Israel Rising and Jerusalem Rising, which show the miraculous transformation of the Holy Land from before 1947 and since then. Doug leads many tours to Israel. He also leads tours to Turkey, which is why we're partnering with Doug in this this tour. He said it may be if, as is believed, these underground tunnels were used by early Christians to hide from the Romans, we may be walking the same steps as people who were actually reading letters from the apostles, like Paul, to those churches in Turkey.
Yes, they may have been also reading the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation.
Yes, yes.
And the letters that were sent to the seven churches in Asia
in
Minor,
Asia, right.
In Turkey. We'll talk about those sites next week.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to go. So if you are interested at all in going to Turkey with us in October of this year, 2022, you need to just, there'll be a QR code on the screen. We are still setting up, as we're recording this, we're still setting up a website for it. But it's an incredible two-week tour of Turkey. It's a big country.
Right. October 19th through November 2nd of 2022. And there will be a couple of flights internally inside Turkey because of the number of places we'll be visiting. The Churches of Revelation, of course, the underground city of Cappadocia. Right. And a number of other places as well. Göbekli Tepe, which is a bucket list item for us.
Going to Istanbul. We're going to have a cruise on the Bosphorus.
Yes.
Going to see Hagia Sophia.
So many sites that are of world significance in terms of history and archaeology, but also spiritual significance as we look at, again, the underground city of Cappadocia, Göbekli Tepe, and what influence the pre-flood world may have endured from these fallen angels of the Watcher class. It's mind-boggling what all is there. And, of course, some of Abraham's old stomping grounds around Haran. We'll visit the village of Haran with its little beehive-shaped homes.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, a lot of really fascinating things. But it will all tie into the Bible, both historically and prophetically, as we look ahead at what is to come. The churches of Revelation, obviously very significant in end times prophecy, and we will talk more about those next week as we continue this series of interviews with Dr. Michael Heiser on some of the stranger things in the Bible and why understanding the world understanding the worldview of the prophets and the apostles is really, really important to understanding God's word for us today.
It is. So send us your note, bgm@skywatchtv.com. If you want to go to Turkey, let us know. If you have a question for Dr. Heiser, you can send that to us as well.
And that's what we're all about here, is digging in, investigating, and trying to answer the Bible's greatest mysteries.
Call now and get the companion to the Book of Enoch Special Collection, featuring the original Book of Enoch in beautifully bound hardback edition and both of Dr. Michael Heiser's groundbreaking companion guides to the Book of Enoch, along with the shocking expose, Fallen Angels and Ancient Aliens on DVD. This is an exclusive offer for our Skywatch television audience. Yours for a donation of $35 plus shipping and handling. Volumes 1 and 2 of the Companion Guides to Enoch unveil what most of the modern church has never heard regarding how the sin of the watchers in Enoch 6 through 16 helped frame the mission of Jesus, how the descriptions of the Antichrist, the Messiah, the end times day of the Lord, and the final judgment connect to Genesis 6 and the Nephilim. This and so much more. Plus, you will also receive on DVD the Book of Enoch, Fallen Angels and Ancient Aliens, an exclusive production with Dr. Michael Heiser regarding the blatant lies of ancient astronaut theory and the horrifying nature of fallen angels and alien abduction. This DVD is a must-have. But that's not all. You'll also receive the beautifully printed hardback edition of the original historical Book of Enoch from Defender Publishing, perfect for assisting serious researchers and students in the study of the Bible and the early age. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Whether you've read the Book of Enoch or want to journey through it for the first time, without a doubt, you'll find the companion to the Book of Enoch Special Collection absolutely essential. Order now at SkywatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.
The Bible's Greatest Mysteries is part of Skywatch TV. Every show is available on demand at the Skywatch TV app for Roku, Apple TV, and our free mobile app. Follow us online at skywatchtv.com.